Aloha and welcome to the Hawaii Family Forum Triple F Podcast. Triple F stands for Faith, Family, and Freedom. Hawaii Family Forum has worked alongside the faith-based community in Hawaii since 1998. Join us today as we continue to work toward a Hawaii where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. Aloha, everybody. This is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and I am sitting in the lovely offices right now of Group 70 with someone that I'm sure many of you listeners already know. And if you do not know who he is by the end of this podcast, I'm hoping that you will. I am sitting here with Francis Oda. He is a pastor. In addition to being the CEO, is that CEO?
Chair.
Chair. Okay. The chair of Group 70 International.
G70.
G70. You see how much has changed
in 20 years. A lot has changed.
Francis, why don't you start with telling us a little bit about yourself for those that may not know who you are.
Well, I'm an architect and planner, and G70 started well over 45 years ago in Hawaii, and now we serve the entire Pacific, and in fact, have projects in Africa and mainland U.S. and other places. And at the same time, I'm now not senior pastor of New Life Church Honolulu, but I'm an apostle for the church, but also an apostle for a movement we call Transform Our World. Now, Transform Our World is a global network, all continents and many nations, headed by Ed Silvoso. So I chair this movement globally, and I have now really been blessed with seeing how God is moving throughout the world.
That's really good to know. Now, what's really interesting, and a lot of people should know this already, that you were the vision behind Hawaii Family Forum back in, actually, 1997, the records show that you started meeting with some business leaders here in Hawaii and some other pastors. Can you tell us a little bit about why this happened and what motivated you to do this?
Well, some of us remember in those days that same-sex marriage was on the table. And during that time, I wasn't involved in it at all. But the Lord began to impress on me that the church needed to stand up and have a voice in this whole debate. And in fact, what represented the Christian church, in quotes, in Hawaii at that time, supported same-sex marriage, the organization that many people considered to support, represent the Christian voice. Well, I fought it for about 6 months, but as we all know, it's not good to argue with God. So finally, I called all the pastors I knew, most of the leading pastors of Honolulu, invited them to a lunch at the Pacific Club, and shared the need for this kind of unified effort around an organization that we eventually called Hawaii Family Forum. Well, it's not that the pastors were not interested and concerned about the issue, but some didn't feel we should get involved politically, and I can understand that point of view, and others were just so busy with their own church things that they didn't have the time or the bandwidth to address an issue like this. So essentially, that effort just sort of lapsed, very little feedback from the pastors, and I thought I was off the hook. So I said, Lord, I did it. I tried to get them together, but it didn't work. But for the next 6 months, the Lord continued to impress on me that it had to happen. So he gave me this idea to invite the leading business people, Christian business people in Honolulu, and tell them to bring their pastors. I figured, well, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit figured that the pastors would have to pay attention if their leading business people really got involved. And sure enough, the business people really latched onto this, to the extent that our initial board was all business leaders in this community. And these are prime business leaders in the community. And we began. We also began with the specific intention, which was unusual at that time, of including the Roman Catholic Church. Generally speaking, evangelical churches, Pentecostal churches, sort of were in a kind of religious cocoon at that time, you know, and just thinking that basically we were the Christian world, not including the Roman Catholic Church, which is a huge part of the Christian world here in Hawaii and globally. So that was a specific effort. And in fact, we came together and the Catholic Church had its own organization already called the Catholic...
The Hawaii Catholic Conference.
Hawaii Catholic Conference. And they were already organized. They were in the field addressing this issue. And so we, at first, not only had a representative of the Catholic Church, not a representative, but the representation of the Catholic Church in our conversations, but began to work collaboratively with the Catholic Church. Later on, it became a much stronger relationship to the extent that Hawaii Family Forum finally became a voice of the Catholic Church on certain issues that had to do with the legislature. And in fact, the Catholic Church diocese provided half the funding of Hawaii Family Forum. And Hawaii became the only place in the United States that we know of, and possibly in the entire world, that Catholics and Protestants actually shared the same organization and had the same position on these kinds of issues and express them together.
You know, that is still the case because mm-hmm. when I represent Hawaii Family mm-hmm. Forum on the national level, mm-hmm. they always ask how we're able to accomplish this great feat. Yeah. You know, and you had kind of touched on this a little earlier. Everything about Hawaii is relational. So mm-hmm. when you, in the case of reaching out to the businessmen, they can pull in their pastors because they have relationships with them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Hawaii Family Forum has always mm-hmm. been about.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And that's how you came to us, right?
Yes.
Because you were representing the Catholic Church, the diocese. And first it was a matter of collaboration with Kelly Rosati, who was later on, after about the first year, Kelly, and there's a story related to that, but after the first year, Kelly came on board, and you and Kelly worked together. And then after Focus on the Family stole Kelly, we worked much more closely together, to the extent that today you're the president of the organization.
We have some, for our listeners, we have some interviews with Kelly Rosati coming up in the next few weeks, and it's going to be very interesting to hear Kelly's version of the story that Francis is about to share.
So, let me share this story. Okay, so here we are. We have the people who are on the board. We have this issue in front of us, and we needed help administratively and organizationally. We had a couple of people. Today, the senior pastor of New Life Church, Pastor Jocelyn McMahon, who was at that time my executive administrative assistant, she was helping me. She's a strong believer, but it was as a result of default because she happened to be my executive assistant. And we also had Lena Ala Drummond, who was, I'm not sure at that time, but soon to be an associate pastor of our church, and someone who was really interested in this, also helping out. And we made it through the first legislative session, pushing this issue back. And that was quite an accomplishment, and certainly we were not the only people involved in achieving that. But it was on the verge of passing, really. Well, Kelly Rosati, prior to the session, came to me, having come fresh off the boat.
I'm going to put boat music in the background.
And well qualified in that she had a law degree, had in fact worked for a senator, I believe, on the mainland in very much the same kind of legislative outreach program, and was obviously very bright and very personable. So, being a wise man of God, I told her the reality about Hawaii, and I said, "Kelly, it's just not going to work where you got you coming straight from the mainland are going to be effective in the legislature because you know it's an old boys network, and anyway, there's a kind of resistance to people from the mainland right away." Having any kind of influence or say or even speaking up, you know. And so I did not hire her. Well, what happened was Kelly then sought a job for
HMSA.
HMSA and was hired as a legislative outreach person for HMSA. Well, from what she told me and others, the first day of her being there on the job, the person who was heading her department resigned for whatever reason, and they threw her into the legislature. And so representing HMSA, you know, a very significant organization, she got a battlefield commission and was actually pretty effective, developed a lot of good relationships, and began to know the people in the legislature, and they seemed to like her. So after the session, she comes to me and says, "Well, this just happened. I just went through the session. Would you now consider hiring me?" And I had to repent. And so I humbled myself. I groveled in front of her and said, "Yeah, I think God wants you to be in this organization." So she came in as our executive director, I guess, at that time. And sort of the rest is history for that period of time. She has an extraordinary ability to relate and communicate with people. You might totally disagree with her position, but because when she gives you her position, she's smiling and so personable, at the end of the conversation, you invariably want to say, "Thank you very much." You
know? I can testify to that because I was actually with Kelly at the Capitol. And I remember it was, I can't remember what issue it was, but I remember that Kelly was always such a woman full of grace.
Yeah.
And so she was kind of putting our position out there. And I remember looking at Kelly thinking, wow, you know, this woman has so much gifts to offer this great place we call home. And after we walked away, I heard the legislator lean over and say, "I can't tell if we just won or lost that argument." Because Kelly was so sweet about the way that she put everything out there. And
absolutely.
But she also did it with a strong faith foundation.
Very strong faith, but very analytical mind because of her legal training. So she understood these issues very, very well. But I think, you know, you put your finger on it. In the way she approached things, it was not whether you are going to win or lose. It's let's get to a common agreement. Let's get to a place that's going to bless the community. Let's get to a place that is good and fair to people. And she did it in such a charming way.
Yeah, I'd like you to address that just a little bit because you were the very first chairman of Hawaii Family Forum, chairman of the board, and only recently were you able to get out from under the weight of that position. I know for many years you kept wanting someone else to step up, and currently Alan Cardenas is now the board chairman, and we're going to be interviewing him in the podcast as well for the future of Hawaii Family Forum. But I want you to talk just a little bit about that because Hawaii Family Forum has always been about finding that middle road and reaching across the aisle. We are neither Democrat or Republican, and that's kind of what makes us successful. And I know part of that is your heart and spirit. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, Hawaii Family Forum, by its name, suggests our focus, which is to bless the families of Hawaii. It's not to, by any means, be spokesperson for one party or another, because all of us agree Jesus is not a Democrat or a Republican. So it's to bless the families of Hawaii, but on a scriptural basis, you know, based on our understanding of what God wants to do. So as we began, I'll give you a couple of examples. One of the wonderful things that Kelly did was, I'm not sure it was the first year or the second year, but it was actually pretty much rigged that doctor-assisted suicide was going to pass. The governor at that time picked the committee to study the issue, and pretty much everyone on the committee was already inclined to have doctor-assisted suicide.
For those that want to fact check, this was the governor's Blue Ribbon Panel on Death and Dying. They released their report. It was 1998 report that they released in 1999, and the legislature was going to act on that report, which was, that report said two things. Not only was it to legalize physician-assisted suicide, but it was also direct euthanasia was also recommended.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Absolutely. So Kelly stepped up?
Well, she stepped up, and having worked with HMSA, had developed some good contacts with the medical community. So she actually organized the medical community and created an informed and professional voice for those who were in a position where they might be subject to this kind of bill. And based on the efforts that this group focused on the legislature with, and this included not only the medical community, but those others who were professionally involved with this, caregivers, others, and medical organizations, the legislature pulled back. Amazingly, it did not pass. Another example is the age of consent. Remember that?
Absolutely.
Hawaii had the lowest age of consent, 14 years old at that time.
We were lower than like Alabama. I mean, you would think that some of these southern states would have a lower age of consent, but no, absolutely.
I have no idea why it was that way, you know? I mean, because we're very family friendly and we're not certainly sanctioning any kind of thing for underage people. But there was huge resistance to changing it just to 16, which is what the legislation was proposing. Well, is that good for young women? Yeah, absolutely, because we learned, for example, that these predators would go on buses, remember? And they would, you know, just meet these young girls, start giving them gifts and relating to them, and then finally compromising them, and then threatening them that if they don't get into the sex trade, that they would tell the parents. And many people were just sucked in that way, and there were all kinds of other issues related to this. Because when a young woman is 14 years old, and let's say the guy is 20, 21, 22, or older, and many situations are exactly like that. This young girl is just really subject to being abused in and taken advantage of. So anyway, we were among others, but Kelly was the primary spokesperson on this issue, and it actually passed, the legislation passed. When the legislation passed, Kelly told me that the president of the Senate, I believe, from the floor, looked at her, and she was in the gallery, and maybe it was just those two making eye contact, but that leader of the Senate essentially said, did we do good, you know, and Kelly acknowledged this person. Well, amazingly, the governor at that time vetoed the bill. It's crazy.
And let that sink in, dear listeners. This is a democratically controlled legislature who just passed a bill. It was vetoed by a Democratic governor.
That's right.
And which is almost unheard of. In fact, it was historical for what happened
afterwards
to actually happen.
Yeah. And so Kelly and we, Hawaii Family Forum, led the charge to override the veto. Now, that had never happened in the history of Hawaii's legislature.
Can I just put a plug in for technology right now? Because I was living with Kelly at this time. I was working for Hawaii Family Forum, and this was before the internet. Well, the internet was there, but we weren't using it the way that you can use it now. Mm. We were sending faxes to all the churches by hand all day to get them to get the word out in their churches to contact their legislators.
Right.
So this was truly a grassroots effort to get the legislators to override a veto, which wasn't heard of at that time.
It had never happened. And, you know, you bring up a good point. While we focus on HFF and Kelly and those who are kind of in the back rooms, in fact, the strength of HFF is that we are a voice for the whole Christian community. And we depend on the Christian community not to just use us as a spokes group, but to speak in an informed way directly to the legislature and their legislators. Our job is to inform all of us, is to have us respond in ways that are going to make a difference. And for the legislature, while it is a matter of numbers, it's really a matter of, are these people actually understanding what the issue is? Because it's easy to dismiss a lot of people by saying, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they're just kind of being manipulated by this organization or that organization. Well, our effort is to inform the Christian community and have it speak out with an informed voice. So this was all happening. And God. You know?
So, really, there's nothing to say after that.
Right. So a historic thing happened. The veto was overturned. And for the first and only time in the history of Hawaii, this happened. So the point being that, was that a Democrat or Republican issue? It was neither. Because actually, the legislature, as you point out, was Democratic, and the governor was Democratic, right? But it was what was right for families and our citizens. So this is what Hawaii Family Forum has really focused on throughout its history. And during the first 12 years of our existence, in fact, every issue we addressed, from same-sex marriage to age of consent to gambling to putting down doctor-assisted suicide, all of these issues, we were very successful in, not having them become part of the laws of Hawaii in terms of allowing sometimes and sometimes promoting. At the same time, we were successful in programs that, for example, the one you were very much involved in, which is adoption. And I think during that time, more people are adopted out of the system, the state system, than probably any other time because of the focus that, and I know it was a personal thing for you, and the efforts of going to the churches and sharing the vision, sharing the opportunity for adoption and the need for adoption. So these are all issues that relate to families and making families whole and so it's not all legislative, but during that period on the legislative side, we were extremely successful. And in fact, continue to be so. The only issue that we know is really a national and global issue that has shifted is the issue of same-sex marriage. And let me be clear about this. We were against same-sex marriage, but we did not speak up against homosexuals per se. That was not the issue. The issue was the institution of marriage and its relationship to families and relationship to society and the laws of society. The other issue, we work to love everyone. So we that was not the issue. And while people tried to position ourselves as haters, what we in fact were, and I think our churches that participated, all the people who participated, kept focusing on the love side. And the love side was to really to strengthen the institution of marriage. And we saw marriage, families, all of this breaking up and continuing to do so because the definitions have totally been, in many cases, questioned, challenged, invalidated. And so what is a family today? It's hard to say in our society. And has that weakened our families? Yeah, absolutely, it has weakened our families. So that was our issue.
Now, interesting, as we end this first part of the podcast, because we're almost, believe it or not, at 30 minutes. Dear listener, I'm gonna close with you today and come back next week as we do a couple of more questions with Francis Oda. So thank you so much, Francis, for joining us today. And we'll see you, dear listeners, in a week. Stay tuned.
Aloha, this is Eva Andrade, president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we are pleased that you were able to join us on this weekly Triple F podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. Take care and God bless.